May the Lord help us to commence our worship this evening with hymn number 749, 749. I hear a righteous man, a prophet good and great, in deep distress complain, and thus his grief relate. I call on God and cry and shout, but all my prayer he shutteth out. Hymn 749.
Thank you. Let us read together from the Holy Word of God in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, and we'll read the first 58 verses. The Gospel of John, chapter 6, and reading the first 58 verses. The sixth chapter of John's Gospel. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth our prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. When even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea, and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one wherein 2 his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labour not for the meat which perisheth, for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. May the Lord bless his holy word unto us and help us to approach unto him in prayer. O thou kind and ever gracious Lord God, thou who hast seen thy people hungry and hast provided for them the bread of life from which we shall never hunger, but they that eat thereof, who are recipients of that bread, made partakers of that bread, shall live forever. Ah, Lord, that's grace, that's mercy. Oh, to poor sinners, worthy only of perishing in their sins, worthy only of eternal starvation. And yet thou hast fed them with the finest of the wheat. Oh, the living bread. The person of thine own dear Son, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Lord, we plead as we are found within thy house this evening, we might be found amongst those that hunger after living bread. Lord, may there be souls here this evening that have had to prove during another day nothing in this life can satisfy them, nothing can truly help them, nothing can truly bring forth real joy here below. Oh, but that which alone is found in Jesus Christ, that which alone the gospel makes known. And thus, Lord, as we come at the end of another day, wearied with the toil of the day, oh, may we find, Lord, that rest, that peace, that joy which is proclaimed in the hearts of sinners, in and through the name and work of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, are sealed home by the Holy Ghost. Lord, may we find once more this evening the fullness of the promise. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Oh, may we be satiated, Lord, with the fatness of thy house this evening. Lord, in this mountain thou wouldst make that feast. Fat things, full of marrow, wine on the lees, well defined. Thou wouldst take the veil from off our faces. Oh, that thou wouldst, O Lord, wipe all tears away from our eyes. That thou wouldst receive us in thy love and in thy mercy this evening. Grant us to know, Lord, thy presence amongst us. Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, may the place of thy feet glorious. May Jesus grace our assembly this evening. Oh, may we behold him once more, full of grace and truth, and come to him for all we need. Oh, may we know, Lord, his name as that ointment poured forth. May we find once more this evening all his garments, smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces, whereof they have made thee glad. Oh, that Jesus Christ, Lord, might be our one desire, that he might be the true object of our worship this evening, that he might be first, last, and all in all. Lord, bring us to the feet of Jesus. Be reminded us once more there is but one thing needful. Lord, how forgetful we are. How prone to start aside and each trouble flee from Jesus' wounded side. To trust in self or something base instead of trust in sovereign grace. Lord, all wretches we are. Oh, we have to confess, Lord, our solemn unbelief, our doubts and fears which cast dishonour on our Lord and contradict his gracious word. But Lord, as thou art more full of grace than we are of sin, or more full of mercy than we will ever be able to get to the end of, Lord, may we prove this evening once more, oh, that fullness, the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelling in Jesus Christ, for the poor and the needy. And Lord, may we find that room to creep in there on the grounds of free grace, without merit, without money and without price. Find once more this evening that blood so healing. Oh, that righteousness so perfect. That salvation so full, so free. Lord, we'd ask that thou wouldst help us to worship thee. Oh, help us, Lord, to lose sight of the cares and the concerns of this life, the fears of tomorrow, or the mountains, Lord, that may surround us. Oh, may we see nothing save Jesus only. Help us, Lord, to repeat thy mercies in our song, for all thy goodness knows no bound. Thy mercies to us during another day, Lord, all thou dost provide for us in providence, sparing mercies, health and strength, food and drink, and family and friends, and a place that we can call our home, shelter, Lord, from the storm on this earth. Oh, but Lord, we plead this evening we might have something greater to come and to praise thee for. Oh, eternal favours through Jesus' precious blood. Oh, for the person of Jesus Christ, for his willingness to come, his humiliation, that though he is rich beyond all splendour, yet all for love's sake became him man. Ah, Lord, for that cursed death of the cross. Oh, for the fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. Ah, for our Saviour now risen again, ascended and glorified, whoever lives to make intercession for us. Touch with the feeling of our infirmities, tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Ah, Lord, what a salvation. What a blessed Saviour thou hast provided for us in Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to come this evening to glorify his great name, to sing his praise. And Lord, the blessed operations of thy Spirit. Oh, thou hast not left us a stranger to these things this evening, but oh, as thou hast revealed unto us our need, and brought us to behold that refuge near. Oh, Lord, for the continual ongoing work of grace within the souls of thy people, and the promise, oh, being persuaded of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. For the fullness, Lord, of that salvation which has stamped upon it, it is finished. Oh, we would desire, Lord, this evening to give thee thanks. Grant help, Lord, in the preaching of the gospel. Open our lips, Lord, pour in. There might be that pouring out. Keep us from ourselves. Oh, that we might have a single eye for the honour and the glory of thy most holy name. Help us to preach a precious Jesus. Deliver us, Lord, from leading any of thy people astray. May we not settle down any short of Christ. And Lord, may we not be left to cut off the weakest lamb in Jesus' fold. Lord, we'd ask that thou hast clothed the word with thy power. May we know the presence of thy Spirit amongst us this evening. Give help, Lord, in the desk, in the giving out of the hymns. Uphold and bless the deacons here. Lord, we'd ask thou hast remembered the church. Continue to unite them as one. Oh, bind them together in love and the unity of the Spirit. Lord, we plead that Jesus might reign here, that he might be the head of the church here, that he might reign in Zion in the hearts of thy people. Oh, that Christians might be found here agreeing, where nothing in themselves they see and Christ is all in all. We'd ask, Lord, that thou wouldst be adding to the church, adding to them precious souls, that they might behold Emmanuel's offspring come. Lord, that thou wouldst be adding to them in growth in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. They might be growing up as calves of the stall. Oh, there might be pillars in thy church here. There might be, Lord, those who shall serve thee faithfully in their day and generation. Mothers in Israel, praying brethren, those who shall be known for their godly example in the dark day in which we live. Bless the congregation, Lord. Oh, the word preached here might find a place in their soul. Oh, thou wouldst be bringing forth fruit here to eternal life. Lord, this evening, any that are found dead in trespasses and sins, oh, awaken them unto life. May thy light shine forth, the power of God unto salvation. Keep, Lord, thy people. Preserve us to the end. Prepare us for the end. Lord, remind us, Lord, we meet this evening in the face of eternity and the Lord is at hand. Oh, that we might have that solemn word sealed home upon our spirit this evening. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Maranatha, he cometh. Ah, Lord, thou art coming. Oh, that appointed day is rolling on. Oh, that it might be, Lord, our concern this evening to know that we have a part in the Redeemer's blood. Oh, that we may be enabled to say, let him come when he thinks best. Lord, we'd ask that thou wouldst yet be having mercy upon sinners in this place, the village here, Lord, and the villages round about. Lord, that we might yet see the wonders of thy grace in bringing from the darkness of nature into the glorious light of the gospel. Lord, we'd ask that thou wouldst bless the arrangements being made, one for a ministry in another year. Bless the ministry here, Lord, week by week. Provide for all their needs. Send forth more labourers into the harvest. Oh, we plead, Lord, could it be thy good pleasure thou wouldst grant them a pastor according to thine own heart, one to go in and out among them, one, O Lord, to shepherd thy people here. Lord, we'd ask thou wouldst have mercy upon Zion, the divisions, oh, the day of small things, the worldliness, the carnality, the ease, sin, Lord. We cannot cover it up, Lord, this evening. We cannot pretend it's anything else. We may blame, Lord, many things. But, that we might begin with ourselves. Lord, we have to confess we're not what we once were. We're not what we ought to be. Oh, how far short we come. Lord, we plead that thou wouldst give more grace. Wash us thoroughly from all our iniquities. Cleanse us from our secret faults. Help us to walk, Lord, in the way of thy commandment, that our conversation might be as becometh the gospel. And, oh, seeing that great and terrible, the day of the Lord is shortly approaching. Oh, what manner of persons ought we to be? Oh, that thou wouldst, O Lord, be keeping and drawing. That thou wouldst, O Lord, be leading thy people on fair Zion's road, though weary, weak and faint. For, oh, they ne'er shall lose their God, nor God e'er lose a saint. Lord, we plead that thou wouldst help us now, one and all, to truly worship thee. Oh, remember any, Lord, that are sick, any that are unable to be here, the children, bless them, Lord, growing up into life. Put thy fear in their hearts in childhood's days. Those, O Lord, who may be away, we plead thou wouldst remember them, where each one is found, Lord, who has this place in their heart. Where any this evening their eyes are up unto Zion, oh, draw near to bless. Remember us for good. Wash us, Lord, from all our sins. Take away all our iniquities. Receive us graciously and love us freely, we'd ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 480, 480. Up to the fields where angels lie, and living waters gently roll, fain would my thoughts leap out and fly, but sin hangs heavy on my soul. Hymn 480.
Lord, would help me this evening and grant you prayerful attention. I direct you to a text you'll find in the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, chapter 4. And we'll read the 7th and 8th verses. Numbers, chapter 4. Reading verses 7 and 8. And upon the table of showbread they shall spread a cloth of blue, and put thereon the dishes, and the spoons, and the bowls, and covers to cover withal, and the continual bread shall be thereon. And they shall spread upon them a cloth of scarlet, and cover the same with a covering of badger skins, and shall put in the staves thereof. Numbers chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, but particularly to three words in verse 7, the continual bread. The continual bread. We were trying yesterday morning at Barton to preach, to speak a little from words in verse 6, the covering of badger skins. And as we read this chapter, these words laid hold upon me, the continual bread. Oh, friends, what a glorious picture, the continual bread. This is the bread of which we read in that chapter, or evermore. Give us that bread which once eaten of shall never hunger. That bread which Jesus Christ proclaims, I am the bread of life. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And our text contains all of that. The continual bread shall be thereon. Chapter refers to the furniture of the Ark of to the tabernacle and to the Ark of the Testimony and to the various furniture of the holy place, the sanctuary. And friends, all of that furniture, all of tabernacle worship, sets before us in some aspect the person and the work of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. The table which this bread was to be placed upon, we read of it in Exodus 25, later on in the book also, but the instructions for it are given in the 25th chapter of Exodus. It was to be a table with a crown around the edge, and they were to make those, what we read here, those basins and dishes and bowls and spoons, and then they were to bake the bread to sit on that table. And it was to be within the holy place. And there that bread was to be bought each week, to be changed each week. We read of that in the 24th chapter of Leviticus, where from the 5th verse we read, thou shalt take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof. 2/10 deals shall be in one cake. And thou shalt set them in 2 rows, 6 on a row, upon the pure table before the Lord. And thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. And it shall be Aaron's and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place. For it is most holy unto him of the offerings of the Lord made by fire, by perpetual statute. That is, the bread which is spoken of here, the continual bread, shall be thereon. It was always to be there, the continual bread. Even when in this chapter we read they were to travel and everything was to be packed up and it was to be covered over, but the continual bread was still to be on the table. It was always to be there, the continual bread. That's why it is called continual. That bread had that incense put upon it. On the Sabbath day, when the new bread was put in and laid out upon that table, 12 loaves, one for each of the tribes of Israel. Oh, friends, it speaks of a sufficiency. There was a sufficiency of bread there for every Israelite. One loaf for every tribe. And then that bread was to have that incense put upon it, sprinkled upon it. And then at the end of the week, the bread was to be taken. The bread was to be eaten by the priests. The incense was to be offered by fire. We may ask why there were also what we read of here, the dishes and the spoons and the bowls. It would appear that bread was not the only thing on the table, and we can only make suppositions from what we read elsewhere in Scripture, but it appears that also oil and wine were on that table. It represented the complete a blessing that God gave unto his people, as we read concerning the promised land. In the land of Deuteronomy, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, that the Lord would bless them, that he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He'll bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn, thy wine and thine oil, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep, in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Oh, the corn out of which they made the bread, the wine and the oil, are kept there in those flagons and in the basins upon the table with the bread. Oh, the bread should never be dry bread when it was eaten, but it should be bread that was mingled with wine and mingled with oil, that the priest should live off the fatness of the blessing that the Lord brought forth in the land. And it represents all the blessing of God that he has given unto his people. Oh, the fullness of his mercy in Jesus Christ. I am the bread of life. And as Paul tells us, oh, it pleased the Father that in him all fullness should dwell, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And as the hymn writer puts it in verse, a fullness resides in Jesus, our head never abides to answer our need. Oh, friends, that is what is set before us in our text this evening, the continual bread. The continual bread, a sufficiency, oh, in Jesus Christ. For every needy soul, a sufficiency for every one of the Lord's people, from Adam's day down to now, down to the end of time. Oh, friends, not one there is not shall prove that bread to be insufficient, shall prove the supply of God's grace and mercy to run out. And this was represented to the children of Israel by this continual bread. It was in the holy place. Oh, friends, you know, the children of Israel never saw this. It was one of the points that we were trying to make yesterday, something I had never realised before coming to read this fourth chapter of Numbers, and I must leave you to read it in your own time. But you know, nobody ever saw the furniture of the Ark of the Tabernacle. It was covered over. All they saw was a parcel covered by badger skins being carried by the priests, and even the priests that carried it, as you read in the 19th and 20th verse of this chapter, oh, that when they thus do unto them, that they may live and not die, when they approach unto the most holy things, Aaron and his sons shall go in and appoint them every one to his service and to his burden, but they shall not go in to see when the holy things are covered, lest they die. They never saw the bread upon the table. Oh, you know, friends, the children of Israel had to live by faith, just the same as we are to live by faith. They never saw that bread upon the table. Ah, friends, we do not see Jesus with our natural eyes, but he's in heaven this evening. He's still that fountain of goodness. He's still the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Oh, he's still, as the disciples record, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, and of his grace, of each we received, and grace for grace. Oh, the children of Israel had to walk by faith and not by sight. They didn't see the bread. They never saw it. It was always covered over. But they believed it was there. They believed, friends, what it represented, the fullness of blessings in the salvation that God had provided, a sufficiency that would last them throughout their wilderness journey here, a promise, the pledge of God, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. This evening, friends, oh, we do not see Jesus with our eyes, but he sits in heaven this evening, the bread of life. Oh, friends, what a mercy if we can come in with the apostle who said, whom having not seen, we love. Oh, having not seen with our own eyes, yet we believe. Oh, believe that there is still that fullness in him, that he is still the same yesterday and today and forever. Oh, this same Jesus, that he will never decay, that he will never grow weary, he will never run out of grace. Oh, friends, does your hope this evening lie, rest upon that truth that Cooper puts in verse, dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of Christ be saved to sin no more. Oh, the continual bread, the continual bread. Oh, friends, there's a sufficiency. There's the fullness, is in heaven. Oh, friends, in one sense, what a mercy it is in heaven. What a mercy it is in heaven. What a mercy it is at the direction of God. His promise to Paul runs like this: my grace is sufficient for thee, My strength is made perfect in thy weakness. Ah, friends, it's having to live daily upon that supply. Daily trusting in that supply. Daily believing that that supply will never run out. We want a stock. We want some supply. We want grace today for tomorrow. But God doesn't treat us like that. He keeps a store in heaven. And he gives us out of that store daily a sufficiency exactly suited to all our needs. Ah, friends, we can never spend that store in a lax manner as the prodigal son took of his father's riches and spent them until he had nothing. Oh, friends, there'll always be a fullness there. The bank of Christ. Ah, friends, we can never overdraw there. We'll never be able to run our balance into the red, the continual bread. There will always be a sufficiency in Christ in heaven. Whoever liveth to make intercession for us, wherefore, he's able to save unto the uttermost all them that come unto God by him. Well, friends, we don't want to ramble this evening. As the Lord would help us, we want to try and divide our subject and keep our thoughts in order. Firstly, we need to speak of this bread as it represents the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And then secondly, flowing from that, as it represents a supply to us of everything we need in providential things, and in the things of grace. And then thirdly, we want to notice the incense that was mixed with this bread. What that represents. And oh, friends, how it shows to us how this bread is to be received. And how thanks is to be given for that bread. And then finally, we want to come back to this word continually. Friends, a continual supply. The continual bread shall be thereon. Well, firstly, to try and say something regarding this continual bread as it speaks of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Oh, we do not need to wonder what this bread represents this evening. Jesus tells us in John 6, I am that bread of life. Friends, the Jews, they spoke in that chapter concerning the manna which had fed the children of Israel in the wilderness, but they'd received what they thought was the bread from heaven and they'd hungered. But Jesus says, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you that true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Friends, he comes out of that holy place. Oh, the place where the table of showbread was, the sanctuary, the holy place. It represents heaven. Paul tells us that in Hebrews. It represents the work of Jesus Christ in heaven. Before he came into this world, oh, friends, he was in heaven. That is a fundamental of our most holy faith. Ah, he was the eternal Son of God. He left his radiant throne on high. Ah, friends, he came into this world to suffer and to bleed and to die. The bread of heaven, ah, friends, it does not spring forth from this earth. It comes from heaven. Oh, he descended into this world. He took into union with his divine person, human nature, and was found in fashion as a man. Ah, that he might feed us. Oh, friends, how essential it was that he became man. Oh, as we read, I am that living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Ah, friends, there, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, very God. Oh, the eternal Son of God, the eternally begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, all glorious. And yet found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, made himself of no reputation. Oh, friends, how beautifully set before us as bread. A bread which is a staple diet, bread which is found, certainly would have been found at one time in every meal. Bread still is, by and large. Oh, that which seems to be so common. And yet, friends, that which is so nourishing. That which is so universal in that sense. Oh, not thought upon as being the finest of the foods. Oh, friends, it represents his flesh. His flesh. Oh, he became a real man. Partaker of our nature. Oh, friends, he knew what tiredness was. He knew what weakness was. He was a real man. Oh, he took that flesh. that he might give it for the life of the world, that he might be that bread unto his people, that he might feed his people, that he might satisfy them with that which the world can never supply, life, everlasting life through his death. I am that bread of life. Oh, the person of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, that is that bread. And he gives it to his disciples. He gives it to his people. Oh, friends, what a glorious picture it is there in the upper room as he takes that bread and he blesses it. Oh, and he breaks it. And he gives it to his disciples. And he says, eat ye all of it. Eat ye all of it. Ah, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Ah, friends, they were to take that bread, to receive that bread, a sufficiency there for every disciple. That which sets before us in a beautiful picture. Oh, the person of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, he who is that bread of life, that bread of life. Oh, friends, that bread from which we, if we are partakers of, we shall never hunger, all our needs supplied, all our wants fulfilled, everything. Oh, to find in Jesus Christ everything. I am that bread of life. Through his flesh. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Oh, the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Oh, friends, he gives himself that offering for sin. In his own body, he bears away the sins of his people upon the cross. He gives himself. An offering for sin. Oh, offered himself through the eternal spirit. Oh, that sacrifice without spot unto God. Ah, friends, it's through that sacrifice, through that death that he brings in life. Through that death, that he finishes, ends the demands of the law, satisfies the demands of a broken law. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. There Jesus in the place of his people, he dies. He dies. Oh, Messiah, cut off not for himself. Ah, friends, his was a vicarious death. He died on behalf of his people. He laid down his life for his sheep. He gave his body to us in death. Oh, friends, he gave his body for us in death. That we, all through that death, might live. I am that bread of life. He shed his blood, his body broken. Ah, friends, that offering received, that sacrifice received. And now, oh, as he, having laid in the grave, rose again and now has ascended into glory. Oh, friends, he sits above today in that same nature that he had on this earth. Ah, friends, a real man, a real man. A man that he is, says heart, a real man. Oh, his wounds still gaping wide. Oh, that human heart he still retains, though throned in highest bliss. Ah, friends, the bread of heaven which walked on this earth is now again found in glory. Oh, there is seen that perpetual sacrifice, if we may put it that way. Oh, it was one sacrifice of sin forever, don't get me wrong. Oh, I'm not suggesting that that sacrifice is being continually offered in that sense. But there, oh, what do we read in Revelation? The Lamb, as it had been slain before the foundation of the world. The hymn writer sums up the truth like this. He points to our names upon his breast and spreads his wounded hands and says, Father, I will. Father, I will. Ah, friends, it's the combination of those two things. The representative of his people and the grounds on which he represents them. Oh, his wounds, his precious shed blood. His broken body. That's the giving of his flesh. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And as he ever lives to make intercession for us, oh, friends, he continues to approach unto his Father on the grounds of the merits of his death, upon the grounds of his finished obedience. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Oh, friends, he continues to give us in that sense this bread. Continues to present unto his Father, oh, his body broken, his blood shed. that all our cries might be heard in heaven, that we might be remembered there, that we might have access in that holy place unto God, unto our holy God and our Father which is on high, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. For the life of the world. Ah, friends, life through his death. Have you ever known what the hymn writer says when he says, and live while I behold him die. And live while I behold him die. In thy deep wounds a balsam find, and live while I behold thee die. Ah, friends, if you have, then he's given you this bread. You've eaten of this bread. Ah, friends, it's life in the place of death, when the sentence of death seems certain. Ah, when sins were charged upon you and you looked for death, you expected hell, you expected judgment. Oh, but brought there to the cross to behold, ah, Jesus in your place, that scene of matchless grace, and to find, ah, as your the eye of faith is open, to behold these things were done for you. Oh, it's spoken peace and pardon and life and light. Ah, friends, it's brought forth joy in your soul. Joy. Ah, bread. That bread given to you. Life. Life. Ah, friends, are you certain today that your life each day rests upon this bread being given for you? As Jesus says in this gospel, because I live, ye shall live also. Whoever liveth to make intercession for us, oh, friends, it's only as he lives above today, giving his body. Ah, friends, giving his flesh to us, continuing to represent us there as our intercessor, our mediator, our great high priest, that we live. Ah, friends, do you know what I mean? Day by day to find death within you, all about you. Oh, to prove just how unable you are to bring forth one good work. To find instead sin still dwelling in your members. Oh, to be crying with the apostle, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? Ah, but friends, from that dark place, to daily have to look up. To daily have to look to Jesus and to find life. Ah, that there is grace, more grace than your sins. And therefore to know, oh, the wonder of those words, there is now, therefore, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Oh, friends, I keep emphasizing to my people at home, and I feel I must just emphasize it now. Oh, seek after that experience. Ah, friends, that's real religion. There is now, therefore, no condemnation. Oh, friends, until we're brought into Romans 8, you will not be found in a comfortable place. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? Oh, but friends, when we're brought by the Spirit to see Jesus, his body given for us, his flesh given unto us, when we're made to eat of that bread of life, a weary, a traveller, refreshed, by the fullness of grace there is in him, then we'll know the light, the power, oh, the freedom, the salvation that is found there in Romans 8, one experience, no condemnation, no condemnation. Oh, friends, that's life, that's peace. The continual bread shall be thereon. I am that bread of life. Ah, friends, that bread of life is Jesus, it's Jesus. Jesus who is always the same, this same Jesus, the same yesterday, today and forever. The continual bread. This bread had to be changed every 7 days. Why? Because it was of the earth, earthy. Ah, friends, no doubt it would have dried out and become stale. It would have gone mouldy. Had to be replaced. Ah, but friends, the bread that is given unto us shall never decay. The bread that is given to us is always fresh. Ah, friends, the dead bread that is given to us, it never cloys. It never cloys. Ah, we cannot get enough of it, if I can put it that way. The Apostle Paul said, didn't he, that I might know him. That I might know him. Paul, a seasoned disciple, a minister of Jesus Christ. Oh, you read the wonderful divinity that you find within his epistles, and yet Paul, he says, I might know him. That I might know him. That's the experience, you know, of the Lord's people. Once you've tasted this bread, our friends, it's evermore. Give us this bread. Oh, you want to know more of it. You want to taste more of it. You want to feast more on it. And you look forward to that day. Ah, when you shall see him with unseeing eyes, where there you shall partake of that fruit, new and old, laid up in store, where we shall feast and want no more. And the continual bread shall be thereon. Oh, Jesus Christ and him crucified. Can I just dwell for a moment on that word world, which I will give for the life of the world. Which I will give for the life of the world. Ah, friends, does that stumble you this evening? The life of the world. What does that mean? Did Jesus really die for the world? Has he given his body, the bread, for everyone? No. Ah, friends, that's not the meaning there. The Gospel of John uses the word world in four, if I remember rightly, very distinct ways. But the most common way that the Apostle John uses the word world is to refer to the world of sin. You know, friends, we still use it in that way. You'll perhaps hear the Lord's servants speak about the world out there. Perhaps you are thankful you're not one of the world. Perhaps you speak of others, oh, they've gone off into the world. Oh, friends, what are you saying? They've gone into the ways of sin. Oh, we speak of sinners out there. Oh, this is what Jesus continually emphasizes, and John continually brings out from the teaching of Jesus. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Oh, that word in John 3 spoken to Nicodemus. Remember, Nicodemus is a Pharisee. Oh, friends, he comes to Jesus hoping to plead his good works. And at the end of the conversation, he's still not quite willing to give up his good works. He still wants to have something that he can bring. But Jesus says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. What is Jesus saying to Nicodemus? He's saying this, Nicodemus, God loves sinners. God loves sinners. And therefore he sent his own dear Son to die for them. He's not the righteous. Not the righteous. Ah, those who have to come as poor, vile, wretched sinners with nothing, no good works to plead, nothing. Ah, nothing in themselves but sin and sin and sin. Ah, friends, it's them that are brought to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world. Ah, the vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Oh, friends, the gospel feast is spread for sinners. Spread for those that are hungry. Ah, friends, it's spread for those that have no way to procure and to provide for themselves. As a parable of that great feast prepared sits before us. There were those that made excuses. Ah, friends, why did they make excuses? Because they weren't hungry. They had their own food. They had their own supply. Therefore, they could spend their time doing whatever they wanted. They could make excuse. But the hungry. Oh, the beggars in the highway that were compelled to come in. Ah, friends, they came. Why? Because they were hungry. They had a need. Ah, friends, have you ever been brought to feel you're hungry? You've been brought to feel you needed Jesus. Have you ever had to come, oh, to the gospel table, loathsome, bare, poor, sinner, a sinner? Oh, but this bread is given for such. This bread is given for such, as Jesus says concerning that cup of the New Testament. Ah, for sinners, for the remission of sins. Oh, friends, this bread is not given to supplement the food of the hungry. It's given to those who are utterly hungry, who have not given to supplement the food of the rich, and those that have food upon the table. But it's given to those who are hungry, those who have no food in themselves. The bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And our friends, give, freely given. How everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, come buy without money and without price. Ah, friends, it's given. It's given. You haven't got to pay for it. Ah, friends, you haven't got to earn it. You haven't got to deserve it. It's freely given upon the grounds of grace. Ah, the unmerited favour of God. Ah, this bread is given for sinners, for those who have no help within themselves, no hope within themselves. But he says, come unto me. Come unto me. Ah, here is bread. Here is bread. Bread which shall never run out, the continual bread shall be thereon. I am that bread of life, says Jesus. Well, friends, we must hasten on. We wanted in second place to say how this bread sets before us the fullness of blessings that flow unto us. Oh, friends, the gospel, it doesn't only promise heaven, but it promises everything that we require here in this life. Everything. Everything. And that was what that bread represented. Oh, friends, it was, as it were, that which God and man looked upon. The promise that God had made, yea and amen in Jesus Christ. And oh, the promise of blessing, the promise of provision for his people. Oh, it's upon the grounds, if we may put it this way, of this bread that the Apostle Paul uttered those words we've already quoted. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, friends, this bread is the provision of every need. It's the provision of every need. All the blessings, the Godhead bodily, our friends dwelling there for us. He says the cattle upon a thousand hills are mine. Ah, friends, he holds the hearts of all men in his hands. Everything belongs unto the Lord. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And ah, friends, he holds them for his people. And he gives them to his people. Ah, friends, he gives according to our need. He gives according to his grace. And the Lord's people have to prove how he does provide. Ah, friends, you need him to provide this evening. Well, here, oh, here is a token that he will provide. The continual bread shall be thereon. His ear is not weary that he cannot hear, neither is his arm shortened that he cannot save. The Lord's people have to live, you see, by faith in Jesus Christ. Ah, friends, you know, times we think that the things in this world we can manage ourselves. Perhaps there's one here this evening. Well, you know that your hope for salvation must rest alone upon Jesus, but you're trying to manage the affairs of this life by yourself. You think you can provide for yourself. Oh, friends, is the Lord teaching you can't? Is the Lord taking away the means for you to provide for yourself? Perhaps your health, perhaps your wealth, perhaps your job is uncertain this evening. But the continual bread shall be thereon. Ah, friends, this is what the Lord's people have to be brought to rest upon. This is what they have to be brought to walk by faith and not by sight. We want to walk by sight, but we have to walk by faith. This bread is in heaven. Jesus ever lives. And it's to him we must look. He has the fullness. And he freely gives to that fullness, to his people. Oh, David said that he'd never seen the righteous begging bread. Oh, friends, we cannot be found begging bread whilst the continual bread shall be thereon. We may feel we come very close to it at times. But the Lord provides for his people. He hears their cries. Oh, the lion's young shall hungry be, and they may lack their food. But they that truly fear the Lord shall not lack any good. Oh, friends, that was the testimony of the psalmist. Oh, is there some here this evening that can say, you know, this bread is continually thereon, the continual bread, because, oh, day by day, you've had to prove how he supplied for you out of his fullness all your needs. Oh, can you come in and truly say this evening, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This is the reason why you will not want. Because the continual bread shall be thereon. Jesus Christ, he lives. And the fullness is in him. All things are yours. Ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. The continual bread shall be thereon. You see, friends, we lose sight of this. The hymn writer puts it so succinctly, so sweetly. He says, every grace and every favour comes to us through Jesus' blood. Friends, he's not just talking there about the blessings of grace. He's not just talking about the forgiveness of sins. He's not just talking about the sanctifying work of the Spirit and the mansion prepared for us in our Father's house. Everything. Friends, everything we receive here is grace. We don't deserve it. We come into this world naked. We must go out of this world naked. We own nothing. Everything is given to us. Everything comes from the Lord. And he has a perfect right to take it away in a moment. Oh, those that trust upon this bread, those that have to live upon this bread. Ah, friends, they are enabled to say, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good in his sight. Because he has promised to provide. He has promised to provide. Oh, do you feel you need to say with Newton, oh, may he teach me to resign. May he teach me to resign. Oh, to rest alone upon this bread. Ah, friends, that's where we have to be brought, isn't it? To be taught to resign. Is that what you need this evening? To be taught to rest upon this bread in heaven. To be taught to rest as Job was brought to have to rest upon that fact. My record is on high. My record is on high. We want something here. Ah, friends, we want a record here. But no, my record is on high. Ah, to be brought to rest alone upon Jesus Christ. But ah, friends, there's no better place to rest. There is no other resting place, but there's no better place to rest. You can't ask for a more comfortable place to rest, because he has all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Ah, friends, and he stands there for us, having finished the work that the Father had given him to do. Oh, the Father says of him, this is my beloved Son. He cannot be turned away. Ah, friends, he must be received, and it's upon the grounds of his merit. Not upon the ground of our merit, but upon the ground of his merit we must approach. And therefore, friends, we can come, the blackest, vilest sinner. Ah, but since my Saviour stands between in garments dyed in blood, tis he. He said, a mere sin as I approach to God. Thus, though a sinner, I am safe. I am safe. Ah, friends, thus, though a sinner and utterly unworthy, all through him we are most worthy. Most worthy. Through him, the Father must smile on us and must give according to our needs. The continual bread shall be thereon. Oh, friends, this is the promise, you see. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in thy weakness. Oh, friends, this is the promise that God will supply all our needs. And it doesn't rest on anything in this earth. It doesn't rest on your hand. No, friends, it's all put out of our reach. It's in heaven. It's in heaven. Oh, lay up not treasure for yourselves on this earth where moth and rust corrupt, where thieves break in and steal. Oh, but lay up treasure for yourself in heaven. Take no thought for the morrow. Ah, look unto me, he says. Look unto me. Rest on me. Oh, 'tis enough that I am nigh. I will all thy burdens bear. I will all thy needs supply. Oh, friends, is it enough for you this evening? Is it enough for you? Oh, that he is nigh, that he is there this evening, your nature. That he stands there this evening, your great high priest, that he ever lives to make intercession for you, that he shed his blood for you. What more, my friends, can Jesus do? Oh, friends, is it enough? Is it enough? Can you rest on him this evening? Ah, oh, can you come, a weak and worthless worm, on thy kind arms I fall? Ah, friends, can you come there? The continual bread shall be thereon. But then, friends, in third place, we wanted to say something regarding the incense. What about this frankincense that was sprinkled upon the bread? And it was frankincense. Oh, friends, incense is the scent that comes off from the burning frankincense. But the frankincense there was sprinkled, the raw frankincense, not burning, was sprinkled upon the bread. At the end of the week, the frankincense appears to have been taken and burned. And it was said to be for it is most holy unto him of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. Oh, the bread that was the incense that was upon that bread, when it was offered at the end of the week, was said to be of the most holy of the burnt offerings unto the Lord. And then new bread is brought out, a new frankincense, and so the cycle continues. Ah, friends, every 7 days the same cycle. Well, in the scriptures, incense is set before us as the prayers of the saints. Ah, friends, we must be seen in two aspects. It's the prayers of the saints, but what are the prayers of the saints when they're not mixed with the merits of Jesus Christ? And so we find in the tabernacle incense, it represents both of those things. Oh, friends, it represents the worship of the saints. It represents the prayers of the saints. It represents their thanksgivings. But oh, it represents them as they're acceptable unto God through the merits of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, what does that frankincense represent? I believe it represents this. With prayer and thanksgiving, that we should make our requests known unto God. Oh, friends, it's mingled with the bread. It's mingled with the bread. Oh, what does Jesus say? Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Oh, friends, what were his closing instructions to the disciples in that discourse in the upper room? Ah, he tells them, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And then he says this, if ye love me, keep my commandments. If ye love me, keep my commandments. You know, friends, in the context, Jesus is not talking about baptism. Friends, he's not talking about loving one another. What is the commandment he's talking about? Is this, ask and I will do it. Ask and I will do it. Oh, friends, he commands us, ask and I will do it. Oh, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Friends, do you love him? Are you living the life of prayer? Are you asking him this evening? Or is your heart cold, indifferent? Oh, friends, is prayer shut up? Have you forgotten to ask? Ask. I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Oh, you see, friends, those blessings that are stored in Jesus Christ, we're to ask for them. Oh, do you say this evening my soul is lean? Do you say this evening I'm sitting in darkness? Do you say this evening I'm in trouble? Can I ask you, search yourself, is it because you have not asked? Is it because you have not asked? Friends, if you do not seek food, you'll very quickly become hungry. And if you continue not to seek it, you'll starve. Oh, I wonder, friends, whether we bring ourselves often into straits because we forget to ask. But it's ask and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Pray without ceasing, says the apostle. Pray without ceasing. Oh, friends, that bread was to be mixed with frankincense. Ah, does it not represent that the blessing is to be received, the fullness of Jesus Christ, received day by day as we ask? Oh, as we have to cry, God be merciful to me, a sinner. God be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, friends, it was foreordained from before the foundation of the world that the dying thief will be a glorified saint in heaven. But Jesus does not turn to the dying thief and say, stop railing on me. You're going to heaven. No, friends, he waits until that dear man is bought into hunger, till he's bought into that desperate place, we indeed justly, friends, condemned. And then as that dear man has to ask, but this man hath done nothing amiss, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus turns and he says to him, today will thou be with me in paradise. Ask. I shall do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Oh, you see, friends, the Lord has promised to provide for his people. He's promised to bless us. But he says, ask. Perhaps you say to me this evening, well, what is the point of prayer? Why do I have to pray? Perhaps there's one here that says, well, everything is foreordained. Everything is coming to pass according to the will of God. What is the point of me praying? Why should I pray? God has promised and God won't break his promise. So why do I need to plead the promise? Why do I need to ask for those things? Well, friends, prayer is a means of grace. That's what the old divines called prayer, a means of grace. It's there firstly to teach us. Oh, friends, when we pray, the Lord hears our prayers. Oh, when we are enabled to say with the hymn writer that Christ is God, I can avouch and for his people pray, cares. Since I have prayed to him as such, and he has heard my prayers. Ah, friends, you know, prayer is a teaching exercise. A teaching exercise. Have you got the evidence this evening that your God never slumbers nor sleeps because you've had to pray to him in the middle of the night and he's heard and answered? When all men are sleeping, but your God's not sleeping, he's heard and answered. Ah, friends, have you had to prove that he hears you despite your sins? Because he does not receive you on the grounds of your merit, but he receives you on the grounds of Jesus Christ and his perfect merit, because you had to come as a sinner to the throne of grace and he's answered. Oh, friends, is the Lord using prayer in your experience this evening to teach you something regarding himself? Prayer. Oh, friends, it keeps in our right place, you know. Children are kept in their right place, aren't they? All the while they're not spoiled and they have to ask of their parents something. And have to wait upon their parents or something. It keeps them in their right place. Oh, friends, prayer keeps us in our right place. It keeps us low. Ah, low at the footstool of mercy. Oh, friends, it puts us in the dust. As Jeremiah speaks in Lamentations about putting his mouth in the dust. If so be, there might be hope. Ah, friends, where would we be if we did not need to pray? Oh, we'd become presumptuous, wouldn't we? Like the spoiled child. But the Lord gives us prayer to keep us in our place. And oh, friends, he gives us prayer to keep him in his right place, in our estimation, that he might increase, we might decrease. Therefore, he says, pray. Oh, friends, prayer is an ordinance given unto us that we might be instructed by it, that we might be kept in our right place. Therefore, he says, pray. Oh, friends, pray. Don't give up praying. However desperate your case may be this evening, however far off, however deep the valley may seem to be, however high the mountains may seem to rise, oh, but pray with faith in Jesus' name, as the hymn writer says. Though thought be broken, language lame, oh, but pray with faith in Jesus' name. He says, come. He says, come. Oh, friends, how graciously he speaks unto his people. Oh, the language of Jesus unto his people, as recorded there in Solomon's song. Oh, my dove that art in the cleft of the rocks, in the secret place of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, thy countenance is comely. He says this evening, soul, let me hear thy voice. Oh, speak to me, ask, knock, seek. Ye shall receive. The continual bread is upon the table. Ask. And oh, friends, that incense too, does it not always also represent the thanksgiving that goes up as well? Oh, supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Ah, friends, when he answers, don't forget to return and give him thanks. Don't forget to put the crown in the right place. And you know, friends, there is thanksgiving and praise that should be given up when we come asking. Why? Because the continual bread shall be thereon. Oh, friends, can I ask, do you ever thank the Lord in anticipation? Oh, as you have to come empty-handed to the throne of grace, but you can praise him because the continual bread is thereon. Ah, you've got a high priest. You've got one in heaven who ever lives to make intercession for you. You have to come upon his merits. Free grace. Free grace. Therefore, friends, you can come as Paul and Silas in the prison, the darkest hour, but they sang praise unto God. Oh, that praise was heard in heaven. The earth shook, and they were released, and they came forth. The jailer and all his household were baptized, even at midnight. Ah, friends, you see, in the life of the Lord's people, thanksgiving and petition cannot be separated. Oh, when we're graciously exercised, those two things must flow together. They must flow together. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Oh, the incense mixed, you see, with the blessings. Ah, friends, they're inseparably mixed. The bread was never there without the frankincense, and the frankincense was never there without the bread. Ah, friends, when we're brought to cry, the fullness is already there to answer. Oh, before they call, I will answer. While they're yet calling, I will hear. Ah, friends, that bread is already there. That bread is already there. Oh, it cannot be separated from the cries of his people. You'll never cry for something. Oh, by faith, that there is not a fullness in that bread, not a fullness in Christ to provide for. But, friends, what is the bread without the incense? What is the bread without the incense? Friends, what is Christ without his people? What are the blessings? What are the promises without the petitions? Presenting them at the throne of grace this evening. Oh, the frankincense upon the bread, the continual bread shall be thereon. The continual bread shall be thereon. Well, friends, we must hasten to the fourth point finally. Oh, the continual bread. Always there. Always there. Now, it's emphasised, reading, and I must leave you to read through the accounts of the table of showbread and the account in Leviticus of the bread put upon the table, but it's always to be there. As we said in opening, even when they travelled, there under the badger skin covering. Oh, friends, there was no sacrifice. They could not travel with a burning sacrifice. But the bread was still upon the table. The lamp may have been snuffed. Friends, the light may have gone out, covered up with a badger skin, but the bread was still upon the table with the frankincense upon it. The continual bread shall be thereon. Friends, there was never a moment. Well, you may say to me, well, they had to change the bread. Friends, they did have to change the bread, but what it represents, never a moment when that bread is not there. Friends, there's never a moment in heaven where Jesus Christ and his merits are not there for poor sinners. The door of his mercy stands open all day to the poor and the needy, the knock, by the way. Friends, all the while we're spared on this earth, it's a day of grace. All the while the Lord's people are spared here, Day by day, that bread is upon the table. Jesus stands for them in glory above. And our friends, it's not only while we're here on this earth, but as our souls enter into heaven at death to join the glorified spirits above. He ever lives. He ever lives. The Lamb shall feed them, we read in Revelation. Friends, he shall feed them on himself. The Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land, the continual bread. Is Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever? God says, doesn't he, to his tried people in Old Testament days, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye, the sons of Jacob, are not consumed. Friends, this is why you can't be consumed this evening. This is why troubles can't destroy you. This is why your sins cannot destroy you. Poor tried child of God, because the continual bread is thereon. The sacrifice is still the same. That precious merit of that sacrifice is still being presented. Jesus has not lost his kingdom. He hasn't left his throne. He still holds all things in his hands. And he is able to do exceeding abundantly above what we're even able to ask or think. Friends, he was in the past. Have you got a past to look back to? Can you say, well, you knew in the past the bread was there? His love in time past. But friends, have you proved today the bread's still there? The bread's still there. You've had to cry to him and he's heard. He's answered. Fresh application of that precious blood. Another sight of Jesus' face. Some remarkable provision in providence. Friends, perhaps also he's chastening you. Perhaps he's leading you, opening the way, whatever it may be. But everything that speaks of him, his mercy and his grace and his continual dealings with you, it proclaims that he still lives. The fountainhead is still full. The fountain is still flowing. The bread is still upon the table. Friends, it ever will be. It never will cease to be. This is where the unknown tomorrow. Why? We need to take no thought for the morrow. Why we can leave the cares and the concerns of tomorrow in the Lord's hands, because the continual bread shall be thereon. The continual bread is thereon. Jesus ever lives. He lives this evening. He lives no more to die. Friends, he lives to bring his people through this life, and he lives that we should be with him forever and forever to worship him without end. Amen.
If the Lord will, there will be a prayer meeting for the church members on Friday evening at 8 o'clock. Mr. Chapman will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. John Rosier on Tuesday evening next week. Our closing hymn is number 293. 293. Encompassed with clouds of distress, and tempted all hope to resign, I pant for the light of thy face, that I in thy beauty may shine. Disheartened with waiting so long, I sink at thy feet with my load. All plaintive I pour out my song, and stretch forth my hands unto God. Hymn 293.
Lord, forgive all that's been amiss in the worship of thy house this evening. Oh, do bless, Lord, thy word unto us. Oh, that we had that stronger faith to look within the veil, to credit what our Saviour saith, whose words can never fail. Help us, Lord, to rest alone upon Jesus this evening, that continual bread, and to prove, through that flesh given for us, the promise of everything we require in this life, and the fullness of glory to come. Oh, thou wilt give grace and glory, no good thing will thou withhold from them that walk uprightly. Part us, Lord, with thy blessing, take us to our homes in peace and safety. Be with us through the night and refresh us with sleep. Go before us, Lord, in the unknown tomorrow, and may we prove thy grace sufficient, the continual bread still above. Be with us, Lord, to the end. Prepare us for that solemn hour of death. Oh, to have that glorious hope this evening. Well with us while life endure, and well when called to die. Forgive us our every sin, we'd ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Now may the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.